He keeps himself in trim by bending bars of iron. This bar is the genuine article which we tested before he began to play with it.
All right, guys, thanks for supporting the show. I got a list of sponsors here. So first off, we got Harito Bending, harito-bending.com. You're going to use promo code CHEERS for 10% off. And a portion of that sale is going to come back to support the show. So I appreciate that. You know, everybody wants to be on the Harito cert list. I haven't heard a bad thing about the quality of his bolts. I can personally say that they're the same every time. Some really hard bolts on there. He got certs for every style, including snapping. He's also got wraps and t-shirts on there. So definitely hit up HaritoBending.com and use the promo code CHEERS. Next, we got Jed Johnson's Nail Bending eBook. If you want to check this ebook out, if you're a beginner, message me for the link, because if you use this link, a portion of that sale is going to come back to support the show. We also have the Gripito Trainer. This is an all-in-one grip training tool. If you use promo code Beyond the Bend, you're going to save 15% off of a sale of $90 or more. We also have Gil, former guest, BarrelStrengthSystems.com. Use promo code BEYOND for 10% off. Gil's got a ton of cool stuff on there, including the flask. This is a pinch device. If you can do a body weight pull-up on this thing, you're going to get on a roster. I think that's pretty cool. All right. Lastly, we have Hard Life Fightwear. That's hardlifefightwear.com or .co.uk. If you want some rash guards or something like that for jiu-jitsu, they also got a bunch of other cool t-shirts on there. You're going to use promo code Beyond the Bend for 15% off. Also, if you want to get on a roster, an unofficial roster, hit up at Eat Chalk Get Big on Instagram. If you bent a 80D unbraced or two 60Ds taped together unbraced, you're going to get on an unofficial roster. The other thing is, if you snapped a horseshoe, I don't need a video. I'm keeping track of people who've snapped horseshoes just because it's a cool thing to do. If you've also snapped one into three pieces, hit me up. Or if you've snapped one laying down, there's only two people on that list, so get on it. Last thing, a couple new things coming up. I'm going to be putting out a feat of the week. This isn't really a challenge more than just like something cool to do week by week. It's going to be just like some athletic stuff mixed with some bending and snapping. So I'm going to be putting that out. And the only way to participate is just to do it and then tag me in the post and throw it up on Instagram or Facebook. The other thing is every month, I'm going to be doing a monthly challenge. We've had some really good participation lately. I want to keep that going. I have some really cool things planned. So I really appreciate everybody's support and looking forward to another good year. All right. Thanks.
Beyond the bend, beyond the bend.
All right, Mighty Mike, welcome to Beyond the Bend.
Glad to be here.
All right, man. It's great to have you here. It's a unique perspective, somebody that's a performing strongman. That's also got the bug of a little bit of the cert chasing and just a man got a whole bunch of stuff going on here. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. I've been listening since you started up. So yeah, glad to be in this lineup of excellent metal benders.
Hell yeah. Well, thank you, man. So we'll start it like we always do. Tell me about the first time you saw someone bend a piece of steel.
Okay, first time was on the internet, Dennis Rogers, and I was looking up strongman tricks, who's doing it, and then first time I saw somebody in person, Dennis Rogers, I went to see him in his studio in Houston. He does like coaching one-on-one, so I signed up, said, okay, I'm already doing a strongman show and I'm not that strong, so you gotta help me out to see what we can do. And I saw him bend a horseshoe and I was like, wow, that's great. What's the lightest one you have? I'm gonna take him and I'm gonna go to Australia right now. So yeah.
All right, so I gotta know, like,
how did you get into becoming a performing strongman? Did you just decide one day, I'm pretty strong, I'm going to just take this to the people?
No, and that's kind of why, like, if you're looking for, like, bending tips or what's my – you're not going to get it on this one. Listen to Don Cummings again. I don't know. But, I started as, like, a juggler. So when I was very young, like, I was, like, you know, 10 years old, and I was, like, a juggler. We have a festival in Halifax, Nova Scotia, where I grew up, that was, like, a busker festival. And I'll say, because I'll say this a few times, so a busker is a guy that does a show – and then after the show, passes the hat. It's also the guy on the corner who, like, plays guitar with the hat out. But in Canada, there's a lot of festivals for, like, busker fests. So that's what I'm saying. A lot of people in the States don't know. They're like, a buster? It's like, no, busker. It's like it's respected more in Canada and Europe than I think it is in the States. It's kind of like seen as like, oh yeah, like a panhandler. It's like, no. It's a show. And then, when there's a festival, you can do pretty well. So I saw this when I was a kid growing up in Halifax. I was like, amazing. That's what I'm going to do. Grew up, put it aside. It's like, that's crazy. There's no way you can do that. And then got a political science degree, got an insurance job, just put it completely aside. And then years later, I was like, you know what? Maybe I should go to a juggling club. Went to a juggling club again, met a friend who was doing busker shows, and I was like, oh my god, I used to really want to do that. And he kind of taught me how to do it, and then that was the real bug I got, like, that the rush of trying to build a crowd from nothing and make money on the street. And then I had to decide, okay, what show am I going to do? A lot of juggling acts out there, I'm not a good magician. And somebody just said to me, hey, you got a funny mustache, you should do the old strongman show. And I was like, great. And I just got the costume and would, like, bend the smallest piece of rebar you've ever seen in your life. Like, a kid one time, like, picked up my rebar and, like, stepped on it. I was like, give that back. And he bent it. I was like, I need to bend it back. I got a show. I would juggle, like, two torches and a brick, because a brick is heavy, right? It's like, it's not heavy. It's like a pound. And I would be like, you know? So there wasn't any strength at all. And then I started to kind of be like, all right, I got to learn some real strongman tricks. And that's what brings me into this whole world. But yeah, wow. Went at a very weird way.
That's fascinating, man. That's cool. So how long ago was that?
That was like 6 years ago now. Yeah, used to be like, I've been doing it for 5 years or, you know. But yeah, 6 years ago now, the last year was pretty much completely off the books because of COVID, which sucks, but it is what it is. But yeah, I started when you're trying to get better at these shows on the street, especially in Canada, you have to go around the world. You got to have, like, the summer in Canada and then summer in Australia or New Zealand, but pretty much there. And then just back to Canada and back to Australia. And I did that for 6 years straight of just nonstop shows, grinding. And then, you know, you start getting festivals, people hear about you, you meet other buskers, and then, it's just, you get into the community and away you go.
Wow. So you're doing this full time, no more insurance job.
Full time. Yeah. Actually, I did both for a while, and I had got into the festival in Toronto. Cause that's where I'm here. I'm at Toronto right now. And I was working downtown insurance company, and they knew, like, they saw the mustache and they were like, okay, this guy's doing something. And then I got into the Toronto Busker Festival, and then the boss, like, put down the newspaper on my desk and, like, opened it to the page of me and was just like, and then just, like, walked away. Just like, I know what you're doing. And then later on, he was like, you got to decide, are you going to, you know, continue your career in insurance? Or are you going to be Mighty Mike? Cause I took so much time off. I would take unpaid time, and I'd just be like, well, it doesn't matter. You don't have to pay me. But they're like, what are you doing here? They couldn't fire me though, because I wasn't, like, doing a fireable offense. I was just like, and then they said, okay, you've really got to decide. And I said, I'll decide when I get back from Boston, because I had, like, a gig over there. And I came back and they basically were like, here's our offer. You could take this money, and it's like, we're buying you out. Just leave. Severance, don't sue us. Yeah, get the hell out of here. And I took the money. That was the first year in Australia. Yeah.
Whoa. Wow. Sounds like all my friends in bands, man. Same deal. It's just like flaking out on the time, even trying to take it unpaid and whatnot. It's like, it's tough.
Oh my God. 1 year I had like 28 sick days and it was just like, I put the thing on my wall at the desk and they were like, this guy, because this is a concept in like negotiating the walk away power. So when somebody would call me about a gig and they're like, oh, you know, we'll give you $100. I'm like, absolutely not enough. Cause I have the walk away power. And then they can come back like, okay, fine. What's your price? And then same with the job. You know, they'd be like, we need to stay after 4:30. I'm like, no, I don't know what to tell you. I'm paid till 4:30. And they're like, nobody with like a mortgage and a kid would do this, but this guy has walkway power. I could probably make a living on the street at that time. So I played both against each other for a while.
Man, that's such a wild start into all this stuff. So
yeah,
you're growing up on in Nova Scotia, fascinating, by the way. I've always there's this jiu-jitsu school up there. This dude, Kent Peters runs it. It's called Zombie Proof Jiu-Jitsu, kind of a weird name, but like he has this wild online presence. The jiu-jitsu guys will know what I'm talking about, but he's just like up there. I don't like, it just looks like so far from everything else. And then like watching Trailer Park Boys and stuff like that, just like Nova Scotia has always just like fascinated me. It's just like so far up there. What was that like growing up?
I love it. It's and I wish I would have stayed. We just moved because my dad got a job out here. My sister stayed, so she's still out there with two nephews, and my mom's out there. But yeah, we moved to suburb of Ontario, but I think the thing, it's just so much nicer. And maybe that's why the festival works so well. Like Toronto performing on the street, it can be harsh. You know, you're like, hey, stop and watch me do my show. It's like, fuck you. I got so much going on. They have no, oh, sorry. I can't swear. Shouldn't swear.
You can. You can.
Okay. All right. Well, family friendly. well, but it's like, yeah, people don't have time for you on the street in Toronto, but in the Maritimes, it's a little more like, okay, what are you doing? What do you got going, bud? It's like, I got this rebar. It's not that tough. And they're like, ah, whatever, fine. Here's $5. Try again next time. It's like, okay, that worked. So people are just so nice out there. Like the further you go east, they're just, time slows down. There's just, they're more chill. So yeah, I love it.
That's cool. That's cool. All right. So you're a kid, you're doing a little juggling. You playing any other sports or anything, or what's going on physically?
No, I mean, God, I wish I had. I was like bullied. So my parents put me into karate so I could be like bullied, like in an official capacity. Now guys are kicking the shit out of me with like a big pad on my stomach. Like this doesn't help. I was like a hockey town, Bedford. It was like a suburb of Nova Scotia. And it's like, and then I'd be in soccer. I couldn't skate, so they put me in soccer, and I'd just be in goal because I'm like a fat kid. And then it'd be like, people would kick the ball and it'd be like, oh, you let it go. And it's like, well, I wasn't trying. That was my thing. I was totally like the worst. And then I'd go home and work on my magic tricks and my juggling. And that was where I really had a passion, but that's not going to build strength or anything like that. Yeah.
All right. So you got into the strongman thing just because it kind of fit the mustache.
Yeah.
I'm so glad the mustache is a staple of this because Devin,
I can't get rid of it.
My friend Devin Hoover, Eat Chalk, Get Big, his specific question to you was, what kind of power does the mustache give you in bending? And it's, I thought it was just something you grew recently. I didn't know this was like a staple of your whole existence.
No, and I used to really, like, I wax it up, I curl it, like, right up. It's because that's mainly the thing. When I get booked for a gig, they don't really care how strong I am at all. They're just like, have you got the outfit? Can we take photos with you? You got the mustache? Okay, good. Give me a black and white photo. You're booked. You're hired.
That's great. Yeah. So I'm interested in that progression though. So it's like, it started as kind of like a joke, almost like an ironic thing.
Yeah.
And now you are developing and you're actually getting quite strong. So it's like, take me through what that was like, and like, what were the milestones in there, and how did that change your live shows?
Yeah, I think it was just volume, really. Like I bent so many St. Croix Forge ultralight number twos, like, cause I'm doing 5 shows a day and I'm bending one every time. And it's just so consistent. I'm doing it every day. I didn't bend any short steel, ripping cards every time. So I was going through so many dollar store decks though. It's like, I don't care. Nobody can tell a bicycle pack versus a dollar store pack on the street. They think it's a trick anyway. So if you really try and come at them with like, this is real though, it's like, yeah, that's what a faker would say. So you're like facing an uphill battle anyway. They don't have time for you to like measure out and bring out the calipers. They don't care. So you just, okay, fine, it's fake. And then you just make jokes. Well, let me make it entertaining then and make fun of myself and figure out other ways of keeping them there for 40 minutes. But before I can, you know, feel comfortable with asking for money. But so I'm doing so many ultralight horseshoes over the time. And then I would start to be like, okay, maybe I should get tougher ones, get a light, bring those on tour for a season. And then I was getting the SX7s that started to be like, you know, pushing it there. And then I started realizing, like, okay, now I could hand it to a random guy in the crowd if I wanted to. And then it's almost like now that's the phase I'm at now because of COVID. I started working out more. Like normally I'm on the road, I'm eating like terrible, drinking too many beers on the, you know, it's not sleeping, always jet lag. And so there was no consistency to the training, but now it's like, oh damn, I'm going to have to come up with other jokes, or maybe I will challenge a guy in the crowd to bend something, which is for anybody too, who's listening. If you guys thinking about doing a show, it's like, that is a pitfall for performing strongman for me always. Like that vibe it brings to the show is just like one or the other, I find. Like either you got to be like
super tough alpha guy.
Yeah, and if that works for you, sure, but they gotta like you, and it's right. Hard to like if I go out there and I'm juggling 9 balls, the guy with his girlfriend's like, what a loser. what the hell's wrong with that guy? If I go out and I'm like, I'm stronger than everybody here, the guy with his girlfriend's like, no, he's not. Let's go somewhere else. Like, I hate this guy. Maybe they'll kind of respect you, but there's that like, ooh, you put such an odd vibe into the air. I haven't seen somebody really do it well, in my opinion. So.
Wow. Yeah. You kind of have to like weave it like super tactically in there.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. It's different than any other thing, I think. Maybe magic, because you're kind of being like, I'm smarter than you. You know, I tricked you. And they're like, yeah. No, you're not. But like, I'm stronger than you hits at like such a,
oh, yeah.
I'm uncomfortable with this.
Definitely.
And then, so you got to be like, no, it's just a trick, though. It's just whatever. And they're like, okay, fine. We can keep watching. Or yeah, some other way around it.
So how, what was the first time you bent a horseshoe? What was that like? Was that at Rogers training camp?
Yeah, Dennis Rogers training. And I bent it. I was trying to bend. It was the ultralight, dude. It was the ultralight number two. And I'm just like, this is my like level of strength. I was bending it against my leg, pushing so hard. And he's like, come on. Like he probably had a whole progression waiting to see how far I get. And it's like, oh, you know, whatever, I'm taking your money, but this guy's not good. And I start bending, and then my nose started bleeding, like what? Classic, like loser guy. Like, and then he like takes a rag and like cleans it up. He's like, that's all right. And how normal he treated that was another weird, like, what the hell am I getting into? Like, oh yeah, yeah. It happens. He's a blood rag. I'm like, I don't know if I want to go back to juggling, but, yeah. And then, he probably like, configured his expectations for me at that point. It was like, okay, we'll try and just get him barely doing the horseshoe. The nail in the board was another one. I was doing that one, which I don't think is as much pure strength. It's just like a kind of a trick, you know, you wrap it up and it's like a mental thing kind of.
Right.
Everybody always holds back at the last minute. So as long as you don't do that, you're pretty good, but
yeah. How about the card tearing? What was
card
that like?
Tearing your first time? Is, I think, tough. I mean, if you're doing a bicycle pack, and I'll like make a big deal about it. Now, like, this is a bicycle pack. It's sealed, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think I also bought his thing, the ugly rubber. He had this little rubber thing. And so that was one of the first ones, but it took so long before I could do it. It was in like 2016 at a festival, Kingston Busker Fest. I was in the hotel and I was like at like 45 cars. And I was like, just jumped to 52. Oh, and it was this huge moment. I was so happy to finally, but I was like fully Mighty Mike by that point. So it's kind of like nobody cares whether you're you can actually do this stuff if you're just performing it. So that's why it's funny. So here. Wild. Well, it's funny here. I'll say this is like something I wanted to bring up. Like this exists in the juggling world. Like everybody who performs juggling and like hobbyist jugglers are a different world. Like if you can juggle three balls, make some stupid jokes, you got a show.
Right.
But then the hobbyist jugglers are like, if you can at least do like five or seven or something like that, it's like, go home. You know, what are you doing here? You're coming out to the convention. And so same here. I think the benders have a thing like that where it's like, to do a show, you don't have to do any of this stuff that you guys are doing here. And it's but it's nice because getting into this world for me is like, wow, this is how you get better. But then sometimes you focus on stuff that that I wouldn't ever really think of doing. Or if it wasn't COVID, I definitely wouldn't be doing the red nail because nobody cares. There's no way you can justify that to a crowd. It's small. It's like this weird thing. It's like, what's he doing? I don't know. He's making a big deal of something. He's talking a lot about it. And then I think as Adam Glass said, been a big spike or something like that. Like the bigger the bar, even though it's easier, it's like, it's big.
Right.
They care about that. So, yeah.
No, I'm glad you brought that up because that was like one of the main questions I had was like, what does that do in your mind? Like to know, especially as this like progresses, people, you know, COVID's still a thing. People are bored at home. A lot of new guys in the podcast. There's just like a lot of momentum with this. And we're seeing the evolution of bending like take off right in front of our eyes, you know, week to week, sometimes day to day. Right. Like with that bar being raised and more people involved with it, does it mess with your mind at all? Like taking, like just going, or you just know that like to 99.5% of the population, a nail is a nail and it doesn't matter. Like,
yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And it's all about how you sell it. It's complete. Like, yeah. Cause there's a story of a juggler guy at one of these conventions. Cause we have these juggling conventions that would be cool. That would be like, Don is having his thing, his bending convention, but same kind of deal where like these technical jugglers, they all work at like Google. It's like a math mind thing for juggling or whatever it is.
I could see that.
Yeah, and they all get together and they're just like doing crazy, and they call it sight swaps. This gets a little technical, but it's like the height you throw it is related to a number, and if you kind of calculate the patterns perfectly, it's like, wow, that sight swap is like a math equation he's juggling. Wow. And then I go out there and I'm like, three balls under the leg, ooh, behind my back, behind my other back. It's like, oh my God, and then I'll kill it. I'll get the crowd. They had a guy, an amazing convention juggler, went out and said, like, I could do a show too. And they were near a famous pitch in the States. And then he went out, did his nine balls and just like died. And then realized like, oh shit, this is so different than being a show juggler. And he didn't want to do it. He was like, no, but I'm in it for the pure, like the skill.
Right. Right.
It's like something, balancing a golf tee on with a golf ball is one of the hardest things to balance. But if I do that on the street, nobody cares. But I balance a sledgehammer, which is like easy to balance because it's heavy at the top. Then they're like, oh my God, a sledgehammer. Like you got to know what people think is impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so wild. So I feel like you kind of like have got your foot in both areas a little more than a lot of guys, maybe just because of like the fact of being trapped at home for the most part.
Yeah.
But like, so is there any desire to up the ante in the show because you are developing a love and a passion for the progression and difficulty as we exchange things on Steel Shredder and on Instagram and stuff.
Yeah, I think I do like it. And I've always wanted, I saw the red nail and that was crazy too. It's like, oh my God. And I got the bag of nails way early on, but I was like, there's no way. It was so far. And I even doing the little spikes, the gray spirals were like crazy. It took me another session of going back to Dennis Rogers. And I was like, oh my God, are you kidding? Like that was like really, really hard for me. So, I think it, and then one time I had these 60 penny nails that were kind of hard. I thought, I was like, I'm just about at the level where I think I could challenge people in the show.
Yeah.
And, so I was in Kuwait at a gig. Wow. And then you go to work in malls in the Middle East. So I was in a mall and then all these like big guys that are like just rich people. And I would challenge them, like, if anybody can bend this, I'll give you whatever, 50 dirhams or something like that. It was like a decent, you know, 20 bucks or something. And guys would come up, the big guys couldn't do it. And I was like, hey, I look good. And then I start the show. And then it's like, well, he must actually be strong. Then all the other stuff made sense. Yes, they're real bowling balls. Now it's a real sledgehammer. And then we went off the site. We do sometimes, the performers will do gigs at like the poor area. The souk where like the locals hang out, the guys that like build the Emirates and work like 18 hour days or whatever. And I had this nail, I didn't offer the money, which I'm glad, because I was just like, I was doing the trick. And then like all these random Indian guys come by and they're like, oh, like this. And they just bend it random ways. And I was like, oh shit, that's like the hardest thing I can do. And all the other performers are like, okay, how much to delete this footage? Like of just like 20 random dudes bending the hardest thing you can do.
Oh man.
Yeah, that's but crazy. I think a red nail, I could maybe go back to that area and be like, come on, pretty unlikely.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So it's nice to kind of be at that level where I could, if I wanted to, but nice. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't want to bend a red nail every show. Gosh.
Yeah. Right. I feel like with the horseshoes, you could probably get away with a little like sleight of hand, because if one of those things isn't wrapped right, that you're going to have a savage dude like bend that thing. I know people, obviously people we know bend them barehanded, but I'm just saying, like the first time I ever tried a horseshoe and I didn't know how to wrap it, the thing's a nightmare. It doesn't matter if it's an ultralight or not.
That's true. And I mean, normally what I even do in the show, I'd be like, here's a horseshoe, I'm gonna bend it, and you do this. Uh-huh. And then he's trying to pull it.
Yeah.
I mean, and then I do this weird thing against my leg and I'm wrapping it up and swaying. And he's like, what the hell? Like, that was a scam. But then people have already completely forgotten about it by the time, well, that big guy couldn't bend it. And now this guy's bending it. I did have one time in a show in New Brunswick where there was this big guy, like a fridge guy sitting there at the start before I went on, like there to see the strongman. And I was like, Jesus Christ. He's like, it was obvious he was there the whole time. I start doing it, I'm dancing around. And then I was like, I got a horseshoe. I need somebody to help me prove it's a real horseshoe. And then like, he just like hand up and everybody knew. I was like, I'm going to let this guy try it. But even if he bends it and then I can just bend it, you better give me money at the end, because look at this guy. And I tried to like get out of it that way. But then he just grabbed it without a wrap and just did like this and just pushed it and bent it. I mean, it was just an ultralight.
Wow.
Yeah. But I was just like, Jesus Christ. Anyway, and then as long as you can kind of, that's the thing. If your whole show is based around like being the man, what are you going to do there?
Right.
There's always a bigger person. And it was more fun the way I handled it. I got so much material out of that. All the other performers are like dying. It's like, wow, that never happens with a juggler. Some guy just comes up and does 9 balls because nobody juggles, but everybody does strength. So it's always something somebody's might be able to beat you at, especially all this arm wrestler stuff. And now, and like, oh my God.
Yeah. How often is it, pretty often, that you come across somebody that's there to kind of just like prove he's the man and like hope he gets called on?
Not really. No. I had that in Austria once. These guys that were like, again, clearly they're like this group of guys that were there. And then I started with the water bottle, blowing up a water bottle. Because at a big, big festival, sometimes I'll do that. Because it's just a great crowd build. And just like, if it pops and it works, then it's such like, you've got them for the rest of the show. You can do anything.
That's awesome.
Mostly, but then with these guys, and they were like, oh, they're like hyping me up like they were at their bench press meet or whatever, and I'm like, oh, blowing up, it popped. And then right after that, though, in the show, I go into like a K-pop dance routine, like a Korean pop routine. I learned a full routine that like a girl group does, so it's like these weird moves, and like I'm like doing the, and they're like, because it that's the way I kind of do it. I try and make it like a just a trippy experience. I'm doing strong stuff, but it's like, what is he doing now? And before you know it, I'm on to something else. And I brought up a lady or I brought up a kid, but they were totally just like pissed. I could tell these guys were like, yeah, I'm glad they left because they were just so disappointed in me as a man. I was like, that's so funny. I don't need you here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds, like, of course I draw the, like, the jujitsu parallel, but here's where I'm going to go with this is like, so people always tell me like, oh, how crazy is it to be training for so long? You must just be ultra confident all the time. Like knowing you could handle yourself amongst most people. And I said, look, yes, that is cool. But the other thing my like over decade in grappling has taught me is like, sometimes someone walks through that door and they're just an animal. Like they, like it doesn't matter. They might not know anything. And my decade of jujitsu isn't gonna really do me all that good because this person is so strong and so purely athletic that like that's what it taught me is like there's just some crazy strong people out there, and it like you don't know who you're gonna come across. It's like like, and you won't hear too many people say that, but I'm being real. Like
wow,
like
I thought that was the point of the jiu-jitsu, that you can always overcome it. But like you're saying, Josh Goldthorpe walks in for a training session, you're like, Jesus.
Most likely. But like it in the end, it generally works. Look, I'm talking like 99%. It works. That's, the people don't do it for no reason. Right. But I'm just saying like on a pure strength level and just like you just don't know what you're going to get. Like that's what it really, really taught me is like, sometimes there's just people that are freaks out there. Like, and like, you just be glad that they're like, hopefully cool enough to like stick around and become your training partner, you know? Like,
right. I did jujitsu once actually. This guy in Boston, he's like a purple belt now. His name's Alakazam, his show, Alakazam, the human knot. So his thing is he's a contortionist, and all the guys at the jiu-jitsu place were like, man, you know, and I was like, how is he, you know, and they're like, this guy sucks because he does these weird things. Like he puts his legs around and they're like, most bodies won't do that. Yeah. And he's so flexible. Like his whole thing is being like contortionist, but he applies that to his jiu-jitsu. And that was a shock because the guy's like 130 pounds and I was like working on just bench pressing at that time. And like, I can push you off of me for sure for like 20 times. And then it was like, and it was crazy. I couldn't do it all. My strategy was like, hold still, pretend like I'm thinking, and then just like jerk forward. I was like doing the, he's like, you're doing the white belt freak out thing. I was like, all right, well, what am I supposed to do?
Does he train for a 10th Planet school?
No, he, geez, I don't even know. He's in Boston.
Okay.
It's the Brazilian guy. I don't know if that narrows it.
No, there's a guy that trains for Eddie Bravo that is a contortionist and like sword swallower type dude out in LA. And he trains for 10th Planet though. And he's does some really, really wild stuff, like super crazy, flexible stuff. Really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it would be good to know this stuff because, I mean, when I went, it makes sense because we're always out on the street and sometimes, you know, you get weird people and bag of money and just like, you know, it'd be nice to be able to be more, you know, in case something came up. Yeah.
All right. So now that you have kicked it up and you're sort of like chasing the red nail, doing a little bit more like long bar stuff, and maybe the Goliaths on the agenda eventually.
Yeah.
What's your training day to day looking like these days?
I was doing some training with Derek. I was doing some sessions with him. That was really nice. Like, I mean, just his, he gave me some insight on stuff. But I got to tell you one thing, the red nail, I had the red nail they sent me initially. And I don't know, it just kind of sucks that like the shiny red nail, I did like 10 in a row with the pads, whatever, the Iron Mind pads. I was like, send it to me. And then I had like 100 other ones, and they're brutal. I can do it, but it's got to be perfect, and it takes me a long time. And so that kind of discouraged me on the red nail. I was like, damn, you guys just made it harder because too many people are getting good at it. Like, I wish I did it before. But anyway, I'll do it once a week, I think, at this point. I'm bending something, horseshoes a whole bunch, or the short bars, or the long ones. Today I did some long bars. I got a record. It was a 1/2 by 1 inch, 34 inches long.
Nice.
So last time was 36, 34, and it's brutal. I don't know if you guys get this. I get this on the back of my legs when I'm crushing it. It like rips away at my back of my hand, and I'm like, geez.
Oh, you know what? With the hard leg crushing stuff, I never had any broken skin there, but it definitely gets really irritated. Yeah. So I just like chalk that part of my hands really, really heavy on the chalk now. And
okay, yeah.
Also, be sure it's in jeans. That's the key to the leg crush, man.
Yeah, right.
Maybe the chalk right there.
Okay, yeah, I gotta fix that. But yeah, I'll do like just try and get a personal record, whatever, and then just doing like push-ups and stuff in between. I'm gaining weight, man. I used to do shows all the time, and that would just keep me in shape. I'm running around, I'm like carrying my gear around. It was like a huge workout, and now I'm just at home.
Yeah.
You know, it's cold, you know, I'm not going outside. I used to skip, I love skipping. So I'm definitely wanting to try and stay somewhat in reasonable shape when COVID ends. So, yeah, it's not like the fat man show.
is that skipping rope, or what are we
skipping
talking
rope?
About?
Okay. Yeah, I just love it. I always like, man, can I put this in the show? Just like I did another martial art. I did the kickboxing, and they were like, here, do some skipping. And I was like winded, like dying. I was like, okay, great. It was a good lesson. So, started trying to skip a whole bunch. Then I started selling skipping ropes after the show. Like, I go right to like, how can nice. I apply this in the show? It's strongman related, right? And yeah,
it's so funny, because in the States we just call it jumping rope. I just thought like, oh, and right. skipping is just like something you do as a kid. That's like a funny like weird run. Like,
right. I think that is a Canadian thing. I've heard that too. Yeah, jump rope is what I mean. Yeah. Not just skipping around. Just although, I'm sure that keeps you in shape too. You put your knees up, you know?
Yeah, just like go skip a couple blocks.
Yeah.
All right. Farm strength versus functional strength. Let's talk about it.
I haven't really got much to add. I do think there's some, there's a difference in, I guess on this kind of question, I wanted to bring up something of like, just an idea I've had. I wonder what you think of it. Like, I've thought a lot about the strongman thing and why, you know, and why it's a tough way to do a show and what happened to the old time strongman guys. I mean, I got Sandow's hand gripper thing, Slim the Hammerman's thing that he snapped. And the old strongman, it used to be like the guy who can bend the nail is also the same guy who does the deadlift. And is also the same guy who looks ripped. Like, it was everything. Or maybe not ripped always, but like, it was everything. They were a bodybuilder. They weren't so segmented.
Yeah.
And then, and then the old strongman thing, which a lot of guys have mentioned, where they brought like the world's strongest men, they're bending these bars against their neck in weird ways. Cause it's like, this is what you guys do, right? Like, this is, and then it's like, no, that's a completely different skill. It's like a talent. But I think like the world, when they think of like strongman, they're thinking of the mountain, Thor the mountain. They're thinking of Eddie Hall.
Yeah. Yeah.
which is why I think a lot of the guys who do this kind of strongman stuff have such like a reluctance to be like, let's be showy about it. Let's make a bit of a joke about it. Cause it is the silly part that kind of got carved out. Like I got a picture of the Mighty Adam, who is like the Mighty Adam, Slim the Hammer Man, Dennis Rogers, like this line of guys that a lot of these performers were taught by Dennis Rogers. And the Mighty Adam, it's the photo of him with like a bar coming out of his hair, and there are three ladies on each side, and he's like, I'm bending it with my hair. Like, that guy wasn't making the statement like, this is really tough. He was making the statement like, it's a show. Isn't this funny? What are these ladies bending this bar in my hair? And sometimes the metal bender crew and the community, at least some of the performing ones and stuff, we can have this like, no, no, this is serious. This is actually strength. It's like, the world might disagree. The world thinks Eddie Hall is the strongest man in the world. You know, they don't necessarily think the guy like, well, I can lift this with my little finger. So technically, you don't know. It's like, well, you've worked on a weird little thing. I wonder sometime about it. Like, and as we even see, Josh comes in and he's like, I'm like Olympic athlete guy, like, just crushes it, runs up the the thing. It's like, you know, if you're super, super strong and have that ability, you don't necessarily gravitate to this like little circusy kind of thing, which is kind of good for me. I mean, I can kind of carve out a position like, but yeah, I don't know what you think about that, but just like the divisions of it kind of has screwed with the minds of the metal bender and the
Well, there's a few things here. Like one, I think that when the old time strongman was all of these things, including a lot of times a grappler and a legit one at that.
Yes.
I think that rules. Like that was like my inspiration to even like get into any of this. You know what I mean? Like, I just think like a guy that's like can deadlift some heavy stuff, you know, have people like stand on his back or whatever, bend some nails, tear some cards, like, and also looks cool. Like, that's the full package, you know? Like, that's very interesting to me. And it's, I wonder why. I suppose just like instant gratification and like gaming the system to some degree is why everything got so segmented. It was just like, okay, I want to look ripped. Like, figure out a program that is just going to make me look super strong. You'll be strong, of course, but like, that's not the goal in mind, right? And it's like, and then the other people that was like, I don't care if I have a belly, I just want to, you know, squat 1,000 pounds. Like, that's another thing. Like,
yeah.
And then like, sort of, I guess the I don't know, like the stuff that appears to be a trick and has some trickiness to it, I guess just got like left by the wayside. And I think anything that ever has like some showiness to it and potentially like some trickery, like we've heard the stories about like Thomas Inch and, you know, even the Mighty Adam shaving years off of his age and like this, anytime there's like a little bit of like messing around, like I feel like largely things get discredited. You know, like for so long, it's taken me so long as someone that's actually like a legit engages in legit fighting, right, to have any respect for professional wrestlers. Like,
right.
It was just like, it really took me being a mature adult to be like, you know what? That's pretty cool. And that's pretty athletic. And actually, if you trace it back long enough, it all comes from the same stuff anyway. And that's like, recently I've been so fast at it. I have this cool guy coming on the show that's a historian of catch wrestling and carny style wrestling. Right.
Right.
Because this, like, it all was the same stuff. And it's just like out of necessity and like people's like desire to make money, I guess, is like how the work became a thing. But I think anytime that's introduced, like if we just found out that like in the World's Strongest Man, like they were somehow like the weights were hollow or so, like if that came out, the whole like glory of that stuff would like be super diminished and probably start to fade. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, even if there is some valid stuff at the center of it, it's like just that little bit of like twist on it, I think like forever kind of like taints it in people's minds.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm interested in that. Like, yeah. How it separated and changed.
Yeah.
And I'm always, you know, I'm trying to, when I'll talk with a strongman, I had Tim Fox. I don't know if he's going to come on some point.
I'd like to get him on. Yeah.
He does stuff. He does show. And also I'll say this just right now, if anybody is like, you know, I'm doing shows or I got a show coming up, I'm worried, I don't know what to do. I do, you know, I did a video review of his thing and just like, send me your show. And it was like a church, whatever. And I'm just like, you know, let me know how hard to go on it, but like, I'll rip it apart. Cause we do this other performers and stuff. And me, like, we'll rip each other's show apart. Cause it's like, rather have it happen with me on a video alone that you'll only see than like somebody on this telling to their friend, look at, they're pointing this shit out, whether you like it or not. So
yep.
I'll point it out to you now. You can tighten it up. But it's like, man, embrace the show of it. Like the wrestler, it's like, yeah, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say he's the best fighter in the world, the professional wrestler, but he's a great show. He's doing something different.
Right.
Whereas I think we kind of lost some of the show, or maybe I'm speaking more with the performing strongman guys. It's like, he lost the show, and then that is, they're not looking at you as the strongest guy in the world anymore, which is just a change. It's unfortunate. Like, Sandow was the guy. And also another thing of this whole bodybuilding, like you talked about, I got a friend who's a bodybuilder, like, and he's not bending the bars or whatever. He's not actually doing huge deadlifts. It's very kind of lightweight stuff, but you know, it's all about the eating. And when I went to the fitness expo, the powerlifters over here, a couple people watching, weightlifters, you know, the strongman guys who I was there to see, like lifting the big stones, like 10 people watching, like their family members. And then the guys on stage, the massive stage, are just the spray tanned, like,
yeah,
that's what the world cares about. And I was like, damn, I got to get skipping. I got to do my abs. I got to do some jump rope.
Yeah.
But and then CrossFit had a lot of people because that's like a cult or whatever. But yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know what else I think it is too? And it's like, maybe this is just my own personal twist on it, but like, and I brought it up on the show before. It's just like in life, kind of getting like heavy here, but it's just like in life, right? Especially as you become an adult and stuff, it's like you find out that most things are in the gray area. And the more you try to make things like finite, binary, the more miserable you're really going to be, right? Like, this is why people, like, here in the States, politics crazy, because like everybody's trying to just like put this here and that there, end of story, right? So it's like, I think, at least me personally, I'm attracted to things that I can look at and be like, it's one way or the other. Did I lift that weight, yes or no? Right? Like, does it actually weigh 400 pounds? Whatever. Mm-hmm. Yes. Did it go up? Yes. Like, this is very simple things. And that's very attractive to me, like, at this day and age.
Right.
Same with like bending a piece of steel. Like, did it go or did it not? Right. So it's like, I think people, going back to the old time strongman thing and like the why people might go hard on the show aspect of it, is like, people look at strength in a very binary way. It's like,
mm-hmm.
strength is strength no matter what. Like, 400 pounds is 400 pounds, like, regardless of anything. So if they're like immediately going into it, judging it on a surface level strength thing, and you, God forbid, you have somebody in there that's like a horseshoe guy, and he's like, oh, it's only an ultralight? Like, I'm snapping those things, like, and I'm doing, yeah, you know, whatever. Like, I guess that's like natural human nature, but I guess what people should probably take away from, if they're hearing this podcast or whatever, like, is to go into the strongman show with a whole different outlook on it and be going to view it as just that, not a test of strength. Go check out actual like Eddie Hall and those dudes for like the test of strength, but the old time strongman thing is more of like a show and some aspect of entertaining, right?
That's the way I see it. But I also think that I'm kind of a bit unique in that way of where I've, like, the first time I did it, and Dennis Rogers was like, well, no, you're not going to do an ultralight in the show. Like, people could do it. I was like, no, I'm good. Let me get a box of ultralights. I'm taking it to Australia right now. Like, I don't care. I immediately went to like, cause I, maybe it's the juggling mentality of like, I'm not going to get stuck learning how to do nine balls. I know so many people like that. And I look, no, that's dumb. Cause the, you only got so much time in your life too. And are you going to get good at the skill of making people stop and watch you? That is a skill. That's a red nail. And for me, that is my like real red nail. Like,
yeah.
Can you go out onto a street and make people stop and watch you for 40 minutes? And then at the end be like, oh yeah, you got to give me money now. It's like, that is difficult. That is psychological grit when people are just like, in the middle of it, right before you're talking about the money, they're like, let's get out of here. This guy's a piece of shit. And they just walk away like all the time. And you're like, oh, I need this. How am I going to pay for my like hostel tonight? You know, that kind of, and I don't know, maybe if you have a infinite time, but I was like, no, I'm going to focus less on the like technical and so much more on the show just because, yeah. I had so many cases of that in the performing world of like magicians do these amazing sleights, but nobody's going to care. Magic for magicians or magic for people.
Right.
It's like, I like it. I respect it. If you're a hardcore hobbyist and, you know, strongman for strongmen, bending for other metal benders, that's awesome. And I've started dipping into it. Like, I wonder, could I bend some things on these lists? And it was hard, but like, I do think I would have never put this work in if I was just purely doing the shows, because it's like, there's so much other stuff to work on. Yeah, for me in the shows, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. So you wouldn't say that you've completely caught the bug, like once things pick up, you just, well, it's, I guess it's a time thing, but you don't feel like you're gonna try to continue to push your individual feats just for the sake of self-gratification, or?
I'll try for sure. But another thing, you know, just the schedule is hard. Yeah. I mean, it's like when I'm on, I'm like on, you don't go home. And even that's a tricky one. I just recently got engaged like a little bit before the pandemic. It's like the lifestyle of like, okay, I'm gone. And the idea was she would travel with me because it's like, you know, we'll just figure it out. And it's a nice travel, you know, you get to see different places and all that, but and now this COVID has really made it clear, like, oh, maybe this isn't such a secure job. So you keep your online job that you're doing right now. She's working for the government, which is amazing. Oh, wow. She's saved the household here. I'm over here bending, and the least I can do is like mop up the floor after. I'm like, sorry, you know. She's working, actually working, and I'm here screwing around. But yeah, I think I'll try, but I know that how fast paced the thing goes. There are so many cases of like step forward, step back. I brought like a box of SX7s to a festival once, and I was scheduled to do them in the show, and I was like, I can't do it. I like lost the strength because of just jet lag, and like you talk about sleep and eating right, and I was not eating right at all. Like just jet lag on its own, it's like it kills you, and before you know it, you're back to another place, and it's like, yeah, as soon as you get over it, you're back to another. And so I know, yeah, it's not good for like building strength doing that kind of life.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So what's your show look like right now? Like what feats are you doing within the show?
Pretty much this is it. Takes place on Zoom exclusively in my goddamn living room. It's terrible. I'm doing feats. I'm doing sometimes I do the water bottle if it's a really good show, because there's something, it's dangerous, it sometimes hits me and it's annoying. There's a lot of dancing, a lot of good K-pop routine. There's like, I have every song for Sledgehammer in there. I got MC Hammer Time. I'm bending a horseshoe, I'm ripping a pack of cards, juggling three bowling balls. It's nice I can combine the juggling and the strongman, which is nice. Juggling three bowling balls, then I'm doing a balance of a sledgehammer and a juggle, and then I juggle the sledgehammer. That's kind of was my like combining the things.
Nice. And the horseshoe, you just go into 180 on that, or you go heart?
I go 180. Yeah, and I know a lot of people do the heart, but I, you know, another thing about it is like some guy invented the heart. I mean, maybe it is, it's just a kind of personal thing, I guess, but I know like somebody invented the heart, or somebody invents a line or something. That was his kind of thing. So it's like, sometimes I don't want to watch another strongman show or something, because it's like, oh, damn, I've seen it. And yeah. Now I can't not want to do it. But there's just a bit of an ethic thing there. Gotcha. I think, because yeah, Pat Povilaitis did it. And now it's like, oh, it's a thing we all do. And that's like kind of a bit of a crushing thing at times. It happens all the time. Like, so you come up with a good joke and it's like, oh, this is a stock line people say. It's like, no, that was somebody's joke.
Yeah.
And now we all just say it because we're terrible people. Yeah. There's just, and I'm like, damn, it's happened to me. And I'm like, ooh, at times, you know, you make a really good joke and then somebody's saying it and they're on before you at a festival and you're like, ah, now I look like I stole my own joke.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyway.
Damn, that's so crazy, man. It's like I've had the other performing guys on, but it was like, just, I think you're getting like a little bit more behind the scenes with it, and it's just cool to hear. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're about to kick off the medley, but before that, I want to remind people that Devin Hoover, the man, Eat Chalk, Get Big, is like selling bending starter kits and wraps. He's got leather wraps and suede wraps. Then also, my good buddy Dan Drang in the UK has somehow figured out ways to get the good British people horseshoes. So if you want to do some horseshoe bending and snapping and you don't know a farrier, you can just contact Dan and he'll hook you up with some horseshoes. And he's also got some wraps going. So a couple former guests that have a little bending hustle that I want to make sure they get a shout out.
Nice.
All right. Medley. Favorite thing to bend.
Favorite thing, I guess horseshoes, the original.
All right, nice. Hardest thing to bend for you?
The new red nail. I'm going there. You changed it.
All right. Strongest bending style for you?
I think maybe the medium bar, like under the leg stuff, because yeah. I don't know. I don't know what it is about that, but yeah, I can do like a 24-inch 5/8. I almost tried a 22-inch 5/8. So depends when the metal benders are like, wow, actually a good bend. Then I'm like, okay, I guess that's my strongest.
Weakest style.
Damn, I hate to say this, that any of those double underhand and the reverse things, like I'm the guy doing the tricky overhand. Not a lot of wrist. I think that was something that Derek was saying too. He's like, yeah, your wrist like completely buckles in. It's like, yeah, I got like cubicle hands. This is not, yeah.
All right.
To force it.
Something outside of strength training, bending, old time strongman stuff in general that you enjoy to do.
Recently, I've been getting really into chess. I know the whole world's getting into chess, but yeah, I'm terrible at it. I've been struggling at like 1,000 rating since 2012. And I'm like, now's the time. I'm like, I got a board set up. I got this book, nice. It's like a textbook I'm going through. Yeah.
All right. What's the one bend that got away so far?
Well, I've done that red nail. I'm not confident enough to do it on the thing. Maybe what's the next one up? The Harito, the 8.8. Is that after the 8.2? I tried it and it got like slightly, and was a huge bummer. Of course the Goliath, but I don't even think that just barely got away. I mean, that's like, it just,
have you tried
there.
It yet?
I'm afraid to try it until I'm like ready to go. Cause I've got like one and I'm like, I don't want to go back, get another one. I'm not good at that knee thing as well. Anyway, yeah. There's a lot I'm not good at in the bending world.
All right. Who's the strongest person you know?
I mean, strongest person I met, and this is true, at Don Cummings. I mean, right before the COVID, I just sent him a random message in February. I was like, hey, I would love to come and meet you. And and I saw him in person just ripping apart this stuff. And yeah, that was interesting. I actually learned a lot then. That was one of the first people to help me, because just very, he's a strong dude. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's most that I met in person. Yeah.
And you did like a performance for him, right? Or
we did a thing, because he was like, the idea was like, I'll try and give you tricks, ideas for your show. And I on the flight over to his place, I had like written so much stuff about like this like strongest lawyer angle, and he was like, yeah, I don't want to do that. I was like, yeah, God, that's like a whole material. But so many jokes, like, oh man, we're good. This is how I pass the bar. If I get you in jail, I'll just bend the bar and get out. Like, I don't know, so many things. And then he was like, yeah, my kids are going to like a birthday party or something like that for like a, like their 10-year-old friend or something. That we went over there and did it. And I did like the water bottle in the living room. They were like, Jesus, this is a bit much. And then he did like a wrench, but yeah, it was good. We got to like test it out in real time.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Actually, Don wrote in for a question for you, and he wanted to know what some of your favorite performances were. We might as well go over that now.
Jeez. Okay. This is, I always go to this. Like, you know, I was in New Zealand, a street festival, Auckland Buskers Festival. And and at this time, I was like very, like 2018 maybe. And I was like very like locked in. So he said, kind of go on autopilot. And I have the sledgehammer and the bowling balls all set up to music. I'm running around and then building the crowd. And then like a homeless guy comes onto the pitch in the middle of the circle, grabs the sledgehammer, because I had thrown it once and I caught it, and then I move around, and he grabbed the sledgehammer and just threw it, and it like knocked under the ground. And I was like, please don't do that. I didn't know what to say. I was like, geez, you could have killed yourself. And then he like leaves, and then I was like, okay, I start continuing on with the show. I'm juggling the bowling balls, and he comes in and throws a fish head at me. And I'm like, and then the show just had to stop. Everybody's laughing. He's just kind of like, and it was this standoff. I'm looking at this guy. I'm seeing the fish head. I'm like, I just really broke down laughing. I was like, this is the craziest. This is going to be one of those stories. And then everybody started laughing. It was this like, you know, this is real for a moment. And that's what you're trying to get in a show of, like, this is actually happening. That's It's tough on the internet or whatever. Like, no, it's like a recording. It's like a YouTube video, but like this moment will never happen again. And then I kept like, I got rid of the fish, but then it smelled. And I was like, man, I got to stop the routine. It still smells like fish. Like, this is such a one of a kind show.
And oh, wow.
It was a killer show just because that guy, he ended up making it happen.
That's so
I
funny.
Took all the profit. So yeah, poor guy.
That rules. Josh Goldthorpe actually wrote in, and he said, what has been your favorite venue to perform at?
Favorite venue?
He also said something about the Bala Cranberry Festival. Yeah, I don't know what that is.
That's this festival up in like October, like 2 hours north of Toronto. Okay. And the joke is always like, guys, you think you're cold. I'm out here freezing my cranberries off. It's like, I say that joke every show. It's really cold. That's not it, unfortunately. But they were really nice to me. They booked me in 2015 when I was bending the child-sized rebar. But I think like the Halifax Busker Festival, because that's what I saw as a kid. Nice. And I went back. And then I played up the hometown angle. Every show was killer. They gave me the People's Choice Award. It was like,
oh, awesome.
I like got emotional during the award. I was like, Jesus Christ. It was such like, you did it. You gave up on your kid dream and then like went back and like smashed it. So that was one that I will never forget for sure.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. How about best piece of advice you were ever given?
Wow. I mean, and I knew this was coming. Best piece of advice for give that I was ever given is just like, I mean, for performing, maybe a friend of mine, less thinking, more feeling. just kind of gets at this, like, be in the moment as much as you can. It's so hard. And sometimes I can go too far with it, really trying to, like, get people to realize, like, everything that you've done in your whole life has led you to this. And everything I've done, I've prepared all this stuff. We're here right now. It's actually happening. And if you can really get people into that, like, holy shit, like, he's right. And make it more than just like, hey, look, don't these bowling balls look like boobies? Like, that's like, that one always works too. But, you know, just really trying to be in the moment and just like, come on, we're here together. Best advice for bending. Holy shit. Every time I listen to the podcast, or like, there's so many things that is shared in the bending world, that little things that kind of just constantly tweak your thing, but also like, watch the videos. Yep. All the best benders I've ever talked to have watched every video, and they look at the different ways. That's one thing they all have in common.
Yep. And some of the best watch themselves, I've realized. Mm-hmm. Like, and I've met grapplers that do the same. They're just like so meticulous that they'll study not only other people's footage, but they'll study themselves, you know. And it's like, that's like pretty intense attention to detail.
And exact same for shows though. Once I started doing that with performances, and that's nice. Terrible. It's cringy. You're hearing your own jokes. It's like, and try and in when you rewatch the video to make yourself in the future laugh. That's another way to be in the moment, because you're not going to laugh at your same old BS jokes. So you're trying to like come up with surprising stuff that, you know, in a next weekend when I watch it, I'm going to laugh.
Yeah.
And then that becomes more real and people like it. Yeah.
It reminds me of the scene. Did you watch that movie Bending Steel with like Chris Wondershek?
Yes, I love that. Yeah, yeah.
Where they're in the bar and he's like with Chris Ryder and he's trying his stuff out and it's just like bombing so bad. It's like the most horrible scene to watch. And then they're watching it back and Ryder's like, yeah, you can't be doing this.
Yes. And he's such a sympathetic character. But that is another great example of watch that and try and answer for yourself the solution of how to make that. Oh, yeah, nobody wants to bend it. You're on a date. Why don't you try and bend it? See if you can bend it. Tough guy. It's like, everybody hates you. Right. You're trying to do the opposite of that. How can you, as a strong man, not make it like that?
Yeah, you know what? Actually, just like made me really think of something, because I've like joked about like the performing strongman. It was like seems like he's surprised at what we all know he can do because he's doing more than one show, right?
It's yeah,
like,
right.
Let me see if I can do this, right? Like, yeah. But I guess that's like adding some like element of humility to it instead of being like, I got this. Like, anybody else got this? Like, you know what I mean? I guess it's like a better angle to go at it than like adversarial. So
there's so many ways. Like, you can do, like, you can think of approaching a horseshoe. And some people do it in the other way. Adam Glass talked about that. Like, he likes to take a pack of cards and it's like, holy shit. Like, and that's the other way of like, I'm so strong. I don't even, and I've done that. And it has an interesting vibe of just like, guys, this is a horseshoe. This is an easy one for me. Easy. And it's like, whoa, that's like a weird, like, I'm not being like I'm stronger than you, but I'm like, I'm super strong. But then there's this other, like, I'll like hold it and like, so like you're just pushing. Cause the times that I've done it for real, it has that, like, you'll put everything in and then it just kind of bends. So like recreating. And another thing is like a juggler where you'd be like, or a balancer or something. If I'm going to balance something on my chin, I could put something on my chin and just stand there like locked, like these micro movements where it just, I don't move. But then you think of the first time you did it, or you get a normal person to try it and they're like, whoa, like balancing all over the place. So just like, it helps them put themselves in your shoes to be like, this is what you'd look like if you were doing this. And you'd be scared because it's a sledgehammer, but I'm actually so good at it. I'm pretending to suck like you are, and I'm still doing it. Like, right. It's that like next level. And when people see the show again and again, they're like, oh, they come back. They're like, wow, you pretended to suck. Or sometimes you do an intentional drop and they're like, and then the second time you get it, it's like, yeah, it's like, but you drop on in purpose every time. that's even better, you know?
Wow, that's wild, man.
Yeah.
All right, this should be a good one for you. What's the funniest reaction a person has had when they find out what you do, I guess?
Jeez, yeah. I mean, it's for me, it's almost like I try and avoid it. There's no way to, like, when somebody's like, so what do you do? Or I'll be like, like an entertainment. It's like a circus show. Like I'm part of a circus thing. And it's just a lot of the same questions, I suppose. Cause like, it is my job. You can't just like, I do work. Don't worry about it. Now it's more interesting. Well, what do you do? How did you get here? Yeah. But it's the same reactions are always just like, oh, how did you get into this? Or, you know, what are you guys all travel together or whatever, with the performers. I think, I don't know if there's ever really been like a super, hasn't been anything that crazy. Like some of the stories that I've heard on here, I guess.
No jokes about just like wasting good tools or good
hardware. My god, yes. I mean, I get a lot of that. Oh, you should bring it back to Home Hardware and say that you want a refund or yeah. I mean, I think people have been shocked when they're like, at the start when I was like, I'm a strongman, and then they'd be like, oh, you're not actually good at this. Like that was a shocking moment when they'd be like, what the hell? Like, I got these boards in Australia and I couldn't put the nail through it. It was just like, that's your finale. That's what are you going to do? And yeah, I had so many just like the grinder years of like, I'll buy a ladder and bounce it on my chin. That'll be the trick. Then I bring out the ladder. I buy the ladder. I extend it. And then it's like, oh, it's too windy to do that. And this crowd of people is like, what are you doing? Like, why didn't you practice this? I have a lot of moments like that. Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. It's crazy to think of all that's like happening in that moment.
Yeah. That was a terrible moment. But then it's like, I am almost like, I was just trying. The other performers are laughing. They're like, I would never do that. Like, but it's that kind of like, yeah, I went to Australia without really a plan. I didn't know what show I was gonna do. I wasn't that strong. And it's like, you just gotta really, if you're one of the people that will do this as a show, it's like, it's a grind. And then the problem is, it's even more of a grind now. It's tough. It's illegal to build a crowd. Even if you're successful, it's like the police will come. It's like, so wow. it's very tough right now, but it's a grind. You really gotta be like, you know, that nonstop, because sometimes that'll happen, like just staying sharp. Like all the comedians are talking about this now too, of like, man, yep, no live shows. It's like a muscle to do that in a crowd and the interactions and keep it natural. It's like such a bummer. Yeah. COVID.
All right. In closing, who's someone you'd like to see me have on a show?
I mean, it would be cool to, bring the Dennis Rogers on. I don't know if I mentioned it to him and he was like, oh, I don't listen to the internet, or he's like kind of like stays off of the, I think he's got an Instagram account, but I'd love to see him on. I know he'd have some crazy stuff to say.
Have you reached out? I've tried on Instagram, and I think Don was gonna ask him or something, but if you talk to him again, bring it up again, and
I'll bring it up.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah, he's definitely on the list.
Yeah, any of the other performing guys, because, I mean, I'm always interested to hear what they say in relation to this. I know.
Yeah, I'd like to get Pat Povilaitis on as well, for sure.
Yeah. Mike the Machine, he seems to keep to himself. I reached out to him, and he was like, I know, you know, I talked to Dennis, you seem like a good guy, so that's fine. But he is very, like, stays in his lane, just does his workouts.
Yeah, Mike's cool. I had him booked, but then he thought like the Zoom wasn't going to work with the service he had. So we might be able to work out like a FaceTime thing or something. I've been in contact with him. I specifically do want to talk to him just because of his past as a grappler and an MMA fighter. So
that'd be a cool one
for sure.
Awesome.
All right. Tips and advice for beginner benders / beginner performing strongmen.
Yeah, beginner benders, you can watch the other ones. People have better advice than me. But if you're performing, yeah, I'll say it again. Reach out. I've been helped in the community for this. I did a little video review for Tim Fox. I love that because nobody's really doing it. And it's, you know, and everybody has a different like venue. A lot of people are doing like the speaking and stuff, but I'll just give little advice on how to make the jokes. But yeah, be in the moment, be yourself as much as you can. I know a lot of people will get trained by Dennis Rogers and then they'll like do a version of his show, you know, and you want to be so different and so true to your own self. That's like, there's no recognizable difference, you know. Even, you know, I was thinking before I come on, it's like, damn, it wouldn't be the ideal thing if everybody here who's bends metal decides like, great, I'm going to be a strongman show now. Like, wait. But you know what? There's so many jugglers in the world and they're all booked at these festivals. There's so many magicians. It's like, really? There's room. Like, and the strongman thing used to be big. It was like Houdini, Sandow, whatever. And now it's like, yeah, Houdini's still there. David Blaine. Who the hell is the strongman guy? It's gone away, and the mountain isn't it. He's not doing a show.
Yeah.
But we kind of like bring up the show aspect. Like, yeah. And I'm willing to help. So
cool.
Send me a video and I'll rip it apart.
All right. Where can people find you if they want to book you or just reach out for some help or whatever?
MightyMikeShow.com, Mighty Mike Show on Instagram. Facebook, whatever. Yeah, same thing. There was a Mighty Mike, but he's a rapper and he killed somebody and he completely beat me in the search rankings. It was like, damn, we were even for a while. And then he murdered somebody. So yeah, I'm thinking of murdering two people to try and get ahead a little bit.
That's
more.
What you gotta do. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Any events or brands or gear, anything like sponsor, anything like that you want to shout out?
You know, not that I can think of. No, nothing to Tough Foot. You know what? Get that spray for your hands. Somebody said that in a video that I watched from the grip board, the nice. Spray for dogs. You must have heard of it.
No, I haven't actually.
Oh shit. I don't have any right here with me, but, TUF Foot.
Okay.
And I think it was EJ said it in a video where he was talking about what he eats and what he does for his hands. And he's like, you spray this stuff on your hands. And I did notice a difference. It like toughens it up. You spray it on like a puppy so his paws don't get scratched up. And it's like, all right, turn your hands into paws, folks.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild. I'm going to look at that.
Yeah, definitely.
My hands get torn up all the time. I don't know. I just like, and even with all the calluses, they just get wrecked.
Yeah, mine do too, but I think this has like a bit of a, maybe it's just psychological. It'll keep you at your next bending session.
Yeah.
Keep spraying your hands.
All right, man. That's it, Mike. Anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
No, man. Good. Keep up the good work. I'm happy to be here. Part of the podcast. I've been following it since you started. And yeah, it's great that you're building up the community. I've definitely learned a lot. So hopefully some of the performing side of it, people learning a bit, and glad to be part of it. Keep up the good work.
Great. Thanks, man.
We'll talk soon. No worries. See ya.